Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm very excited about having Rich Galen back on the show. I know. Settle down, kids. I'm excited, too. He's one of the top political operatives in our world, for sure. He spins to the right most of the time. He's of the Republican persuasion. Many of you have seen his handsome face on television on a number of programmings out there. He is... And he is, I'm proud to report to you, is a great American. Rich, welcome back.
Thank you, sir. That was very kind.
Well, it's from the heart. So I'm glad you're here. So let's talk about our Labor Day experiences. Now, my family, both my parents were members of labor unions. So I stand here today, you know, having been raised on labor payroll. I don't know what we would have done, I guess, without those jobs, because we were blue collar through and through. What about your family?
No, my dad was an upholsterer and worked out of a store in Queens, and then ultimately bought the store. So we never had labor issue. But
he would have learned from a guildsman, probably, right? His skill from some kind of a guildsman or something.
I don't remember that side of the story. It's a good question.
Yeah.
And now,
uh-huh.
Unfortunately, he's gone, so I can't ask him. But on one side of us, when I grew up on Long Island, there was the guy was a city bus driver. He was certainly in a union,
mm-hmm.
And had all the holidays off. My dad would only close the store on, you know, major holidays when he knew nobody was going to come in.
Right.
But the fact is that the labor movement back, you know, you and I are approximately the same age, back when we were young, was a huge part of everybody's life, whether you're in one or not in one.
It peaked around 72. The numbers peaked around 72.
And by 83, I'm looking at Wikipedia.
Yeah.
By 1983, the percentage of workers belonging to a union was only 11%.
From 32% 10 years or so before.
Yeah, so exactly. But here's the big thing, Jim, that I used to talk about a lot, and that is the rate for the private sector was about 6.4%, and the public sector about 35%.
Right.
So labor unions in the modern era is largely a public sector event.
Which Franklin Roosevelt warned us about, didn't he?
Well, the problem with public sector unions, and I'm not an anti-union guy per se. I'm not one of those. When you go back and look at, you know, with the way workers had to deal with their bosses back in the late 1800s, mm-hmm. early 1900s, you can see why the labor movement was important. But the issue with public unions is the golden goose never dies.
Mm-hmm.
They just raise taxes to pay for whatever the politicians agree to, so they can get to lunch. In the private sector, the labor unions, smart labor unions, understand that sooner or later you can kill the golden goose, and you've got to be careful about what you're asking for, because you can't have the company that your union members belong to or
right.
the sector run out of money, or everybody loses their job.
Well, and when you consider that a lot of these unions are local, municipality-type unions, one of our brain trust members wrote a book called The New Majority, and he was talking about the public service labor unions.
Exactly.
And in certain cities, you know, where the cities would be, and they would actually become almost a majority or a voting bloc that could control how the election went.
I wrote a column years ago when Detroit, I think it was, went bankrupt. That, you know, if you were on the road crews, the state road crews, and your son graduated from high school at 18, You got him a job on the road crews.
Yeah,
he worked for
right.
20 years. He's 38.
That's called, it was called
pull. He's going to draw attention for the whole rest of his life. And he's going to move to, you know, Alabama.
Yeah.
Because it's nice and warm down there. And so not only is he earning a pension for, you know, for the next 40 years, you know, based upon taxes drawn in Detroit, but he's not spending his money there anymore. So it was really a vicious cycle.
Yep. Well, and that, that was called pull. Did your dad have any pull? I need a job. So
that's right. Pull.
So, you know, the thing though, as we wrap up here, the unions, as important as they were, the unions are a victim of their own success and in some ways their own dysfunction. And now, you know, unions are kind of irrelevant in the private sector because companies do a better job of that. And it's like minimum wage in small business. Minimum wage is not a big deal with small business owners anymore because most of us already pay our people more than that. When we come back the break, Rich Galen and I are going to talk about the Electoral College. I want to get his thoughts on that very important and timely, currently debated issue.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.